following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No, I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 25th of June. College World Series continues. Woohoo!
That was a nice game last night. You know, you almost had that feeling that somehow Vandy was going to find a way for a little while there, and then I think the cream's coming to the top.
Virginia is so much better.
I agree.
Than Vanderbilt.
But here's the thing, though. You can now it's a situation, it's a one-game deal. Vandy, even though they're not the better team, can find a way and jump up and
no
win this thing.
In no way can I root for Vanderbilt, because I know Virginia's the better team. This is a rare instance where I don't care who wins, because I think both programs are cool. It'll be a great story for either, and Vandy's never won anything but women's bowling, and Virginia's never won baseball, and Coach O'Connor from Council Bluffs and all the ties to the area and things like that. So, but I mean, it
underdog.
Is just,
aren't you supposed to root for underdogs?
But this
that's un-American.
So apparent who the better team is. I mean, the Heat Spurs. Spurs were the better team.
I think
team.
Duke was
Heat
better than Pleasure. Butler. I rooted for Butler. You know what I mean? Isn't it the American thing? You go for the underdog. Isn't that the American thing?
You know,
you accuse other people of communism. I think it's time for that to be kind of coming your way.
You
root for the underdog. That's the American thing. And by the way, you're right. Virginia's so much better.
Yeah, okay. But Vanderbilt, how big of an underdog can they be?
Their practice facility is underneath the stands at the football field, for crying out loud. That sounds like a junior high program, you know? I mean, for them to be in the situation they're in is a credit to their coaching and what they've been able to put together with that. But come on, there's a little underdog aspect to that.
Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com going to join us from Omaha in our next segment to talk about what we have seen as he's been there for the College World Series throughout. I'll tell you what, there were a lot of people that were disappointed that Vanderbilt lost last night. And that would be, everybody that works at TD Ameritrade, they're ready to go home. They're ready. It's a long 2 weeks. Now, the bars and the hotels and the restaurants, they're doing
kind of happy.
They like that. But man, this is long. Everybody knows it. But it's only long for the two teams that are in the finals, and those teams don't care. The fans, it's long for. I still don't understand, and no one has ever been able to come up with a formula. If you're a parent of one of these players, you have to find a way to suck it up for 10 days approximately to be in Omaha, no matter what. But if you're just a fan, I don't know how you could be just a fan with any kind of a job from either one of these schools that was able to come up for the entire series. And I don't know how you could be a normal person. I mean, I know there are people with money that can afford to go back and forth, but to come up
retired folks,
for
yeah.
that first couple of games, go back home, so then you're home for about 5-6 days, and then come back because they got into the series. It is very tough, and I'll tell you what, it is amazing that those schools find a way to still have great fan bases, it seems like, almost throughout the entire College World Series.
I could call my boss and say, you know, my son's in the College World Series. My nephew's in the College World Series. My grandson's in the College World Series. My boss is going to understand that. But I just don't know. He's like, yeah, my Rebels are still in it, so we're going to stick around. You're absolutely right. How do you do that unless you've got skin in the game? Literally, unless you've got family in it, how do you pull that off? It is long, but it is the fairest format to try to figure out who is the college baseball national title. I don't have a better format.
Yeah. You know what? I liked the old format.
Just straight double elimination.
Eight teams get in. Let's go. Eight teams get in. We don't need to play the same team three times. You know what I mean? You play, and then you cross bracket, and then you might end up like American Legion State baseball tournament.
Oh, yeah, okay, if you want to go back to the original format, that would be okay. What I hated was we have a double elimination tournament for these four teams, double elimination for these four teams, and then we play one game to decide who your national champion is, because you don't necessarily get the best team that won it. And you have a team that only lost was in that first championship game, whereas the other team already had lost once, and they win the title with one loss. You lose the title with your one loss. And that format wasn't good at all. That wasn't right.
And now that you've come up with this best of three, that's not going to change because it's too much drama, something to build up to. So that's fine.
And it's easy for casual fans to wrap their mind around it. Those people that are just turning in an ESPN every once
Simpletons.
In a while. Well, no, I'm just saying and you want to grow your sport, so you have to make it easy for people to kind of grasp it and kind of understand what's going on. You can understand a best two out of three championship series. That's easy to understand.
You understand, right, Jeff?
Ooh, wow.
Understand.
Wow.
Right?
Wow, he did this. Whoa, okay. Right?
I mean, you got it.
Yeah, I understand the concept of it, yes.
You know, it's keeping the attention of the youth of America. So there you go. Let's get to a couple of things here. As we said, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, coming up next segment. Kearney runs a Legion coach. Brad Archer is going to join us to talk about the seniors. They get ready for another league game tonight with Grand Island. They picked up a win against North Platte last night. Young Peyton Pocock is really doing the job on the mound. That'll be one of the things that we talked about. He threw a no-hitter last week. He threw a shutout last night, which I don't care what level you're at, that's pretty good.
I get a one-hitter before the no-hitter, too. So, I mean, he's on a real roll.
Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger, getting ready for the United Bowl on Saturday. We'll catch up with him. And later in the week, don't forget the six-man all-star game between Nebraska and Wyoming is hosted by Silver Lake, and they are rolling into camp and starting things up today with practices. We'll talk more about that on Friday. Tomorrow, we have going to make a unique situation, and I'll tell you what, I will be the first to admit, I went in and talked to producer Merritt and producer Jeff earlier this week, Monday, I think it was. No, because I was off Monday, Tuesday. So I went in there yesterday. I said, you know what, guys? The World Cup game, Germany, United States, I think we ought to put it all on over Doug and Daddy because it starts at 11, and that's what we're going to do tomorrow. I think what we'll do is we'll come on briefly before the World Cup, 10:30, 10:45, depending on how much sports there is, just mainly to recap the College World Series and what happened and to hit the local sports scene. Then we're going to take you into the World Cup and see what happens tomorrow, as that will last from about 11 until 1 o'clock. And I think there is enough of a fan base, even if I'm not a soccer fan. That doesn't matter. That's not the decision. It's for you, the listeners. It's during the working day. I mean, yes, you can watch it on TV, maybe pull up on your smartphone. Obviously, if it's on in the background and you hear excitement, that is the one thing about soccer. It is, you can be sleeping during soccer, and then you kind of know when something's about to happen because the voice gets up there, or something we have not heard enough of this year is, goal!
You're watching the wrong network is the reason you're probably not hearing that. It's the wrong network. He's still out there.
What is that?
Univision.
Univision.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so, and then it just didn't sound right. So we're going to do that tomorrow. Then we're back on Friday. We'll be out at the Kearney Country Club again, the Kearney Catholic fundraiser. Golf tournament's going on. You can contact the foundation to find out more information about that. And we've got quite a few events that are going on out there with our partnership with the Kearney Country Club to talk about. We were out there last week for the Tosh Kider Memorial, another very successful tournament, raised a lot of money. The Snag Golf Program, I heard, which was kind of neat, is that they decided the championship, there was a tie, I think they said a three-way tie, and they decided instead of a playoff hole or a scorecard playoff, they made them play the snag golf hole, some way that they made them play the snag golf to determine the champ. Now, that's kind of cool.
That's kind, yeah. Well, that is the event, isn't it? Snag golf thing?
Yeah for the elementary, junior high students around
that's
the city.
That's a fun way to do that.
That's pretty cool.
It's a little something different.
So that's what we've got going on, and we probably won't get into a whole lot more World Cup, and they're talking about it already. And I guess it's not – maybe it's just the culture, and maybe that's one of the things about World Cup. But this whole biting thing yesterday.
Oh, it happens in boxing in this country. And
once.
Well, okay, this guy is –
this guy has to be, at minimum, banned from the rest of the World Cup.
Well, agreed.
And then after that, I don't know, he's an idiot. That's the problem.
There's discussion he can be done for 2 years, which is a big part of his career.
Too much. Too much. But here's what I say. Here's what I say to this guy. This is your, apparently, third incident that we've caught on tape. You are out for the World Cup, and if you ever do it again, you are banned for life. I'm not giving you 12 months or 24. Banned for life. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You knew you were biting this guy. You're a moron. And if you ever do it again, you can never play soccer professionally, internationally, ever again. And I don't think that's out of line.
Well,
if that happened in the NBA, if that happened in the NBA.
Oh, come on. Meta World Peace had a long litany. No, it wasn't biting, but he had a long litany. You had people going into the stands and attacking fans, for crying out loud.
And he got
and
a
they
year.
Came, and he got
and
a
he
year.
Got a year. First incident.
And I'm thinking this guy, if he's kicked out for 2 years, and then you've got to understand that we're going to keep upping it, buddy, and you're not going to have any career left if you do it again. I wouldn't be surprised if he has at least a year ban. I wouldn't be surprised. I would be shocked if he plays again in the World Cup.
Because it's multiple offenses.
Well, no absolutely. And, you know, generally when people say, hey, I'm going to go eat a little Italian, it doesn't mean what that meant.
Wow. La Sola meal. That's where you're supposed to go. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth right after this.
Who's the stranger?
Well, that's Wild Willie McGee.
I'm looking for 15 people to draw. Draw to win a share of $100,000. Enter the Nebraska Lottery's 100K giveaway. Just send in a non-winning $1, $2, and $5 Summer Ranch scratch ticket, and you could win a share of $100,000. Anybody got a problem with that?
No.
Then get your tickets and let's have some fun.
Maybe they ought to call him Mild Willie McGee.
Must be 19. Please play responsibly.
Play the $5 Harley-Davidson scratch game from the Nebraska Lottery. You could win one of three Harley-Davidson Street Glide motorcycles. And now, for your listening pleasure, a Harley-Davidson engine. Sure beats 15 seconds of announcer copy, huh? Must be 19. Please play responsibly.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see sunny skies today, but there is a slight chance for an afternoon shower or thunderstorm. It's at highs near 81 degrees, and we could see some more spotty showers or storms tonight with a low of 64. I'm meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 73.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to be along with you on this final Wednesday of June. Nice little shower yesterday, but you can't count on that all the time. That's why you need proven technology that works, and that's your T&L irrigation system. T&L systems are hydrostatically powered, the same simple and reliable power design you know and work with every day. And with their smooth, continuous system movement at any speed, precise rotation times at any temperature, and high-speed rotation for frost control, I forgot what that was, and uniform chemical application, high-efficiency, variable-displacement hydraulic pump that uses only needed power and can be used with single or three-phase electricity. You can find out so much more. Maybe you've already got into the season and went, you know what, I should have got that T&L. Don't delay. There's still a lot of season left. T&L Irrigation Systems, in business for over 60 years, serving all of Nebraska, the United States, and more than 65 countries worldwide. T&L Irrigation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday, where we get back to what we love to watch here, more than World Cup, more than NBA. It's college baseball, and unless there's a rain shower tonight, this is it. The College World Series will wrap up with Vanderbilt taking on Virginia. And he's been there so long, they've started to deliver mail and pizza to this address. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. Mitchell, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. That's right. Don't mention that rain. I need this thing to end tonight. I don't root for teams in the College World Series, but there was a part of me last night that would have been celebrating inside if Vanderbilt had wrapped it up in two games. But, you know, we get a winner-take-all tonight, so it'll be fun for sure.
Mitch, we talked about that. I get what you're talking about, too. I always tell fans when we cover, like, a volleyball that goes the best of three, I say, I don't care who wins the first set as long as they also win the second, because then then you're done. But that is, I think, and maybe you've got another one, but I think the only negative aspect that is really talked about is the length of the College World Series. And we talked about it again at the top of the program. It doesn't really bother the teams because they're playing in the national championship and the other guys are there about a week. But the workers and the media and who cares, I get that. But, you know, Tom Chattel mentioned it today. Is there any inkling of any tweaking to the College World Series format?
Well, I don't think they're going to make the tournament shorter. And, I mean, it gets to be long if, like you mentioned, you work at the event and you're out there every night for close to 2 weeks. For the fans and the players, and that's who we should be concerned with here if you're considering tweaks to the event, you know, you don't have to go every night. You certainly don't have to stay every night until 1 in the morning after the game, like me, if you do go take in the games. So, you know, for a person like Tom or like me, sure, it gets long. It's very draining. It's hard to work on 4 and 5 hours of sleep continuously. But that isn't the concern for the public. You can skip a few nights and go, you know, and then you have a day off before the championship series. I don't think that is what should be looked at most if you're considering tweaks to this event. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk this year about the ballpark and the lack of power. I think it's important to continue to look at that. I think it's important to monitor what happens next year with the altered baseball. And if that doesn't do the trick, then I think you have to consider some things more drastic. But I am very strong in believing that despite the lack of home runs, some people mistake the lack of home runs for a lack of drama overall in the tournament. You know, we've had 4 walk-off games. We've had more one-run finishes in this NCAA postseason than any in history. So it's easy to sometimes see that those 2 home runs and say, wow, this thing's just been a boring tournament. It hasn't been. It's been well-pitched. There have been good games. They've been a little tedious at times. But, you know, you go to the College World Series, see the passion and just that energy and the will that those kids exert night in and night out, and this year has been has been good as far as that goes, in my opinion.
Mitch, obviously the finals themselves has had plenty of offense, but you already touched on it in terms of it being kind of a lot more low scoring. Is there a concern that hurts the overall popularity of college baseball? Because that was one of the things that was different about college baseball versus Major League Baseball was the number of runs scored. And do you think the ball is really going to the revisions to the ball are really going to make that much of a change to the overall sport itself?
You know, that really remains to be seen. I have no idea what the lowered laces are going to do. I've heard some expectations or some guesses that the ball will travel 20 feet further on a long fly ball, in which case, okay, you know, you would have quite a few more home runs at this tournament. But how's it going to affect pitching? You know, is the grip going to be a problem for the pitchers? Is the breaking ball going to be as effective? I have no idea. I think these things have probably been considered by the NCAA and by the baseball community, but you know, we'll have to see how it goes. It could be a disaster. You may not be able to throw a curveball. I don't know. I doubt that. I doubt they would introduce this kind of a change if that was the case. But it really needs to be seen in play. It's kind of an experiment with what they're doing here. You know, there's still been 325,000 people at this event. There have been a couple of nights where, you know, you've seen empty seats and the attendance has been down around 16,000 to 18,000. You know, the newness factor at TD Ameritrade Park is starting to wear off. It's a great place to watch a baseball game, but I think you need to have some other elements to draw people in. And this year, with the way the field was set up, you had Texas, and other than that, you didn't have the traditional powers in college baseball that the people in Omaha are used to seeing. Now, maybe some of these programs, like a Virginia or a Vanderbilt, will become that kind of a program. And tonight's a big step toward one of them obviously doing it. But you need to have all kinds of elements in play to make the baseball compelling for the people who go out to see the games. I don't think it's been a problem this year. To me, as a guy who watches baseball, I don't need to see home runs to be interested in the game. I like home runs. I think it's very important that when a player earns a home run, when a pitcher makes a mistake and a guy just crushes the ball, it should go out of the park. I hope they find a way to make that happen. But I've not been bored with the baseball by any means this year.
Yeah, I know fans just like to have the possibility of a three-run
right.
shot to tie or take the lead. And as Kyle Peterson said last night, Mike Poppy, the outstanding, but probably the best hitter in college baseball, would have had three home runs probably already in this College World Series. We're talking with Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's talk about tonight's Game 3, Virginia-Vanderbilt. We've discussed it again. I can't remember a time where Randy says you got to root for the underdog. Mitch, it seems to me that Virginia is so much better than Vanderbilt. And I know that's hard to say when you're playing for a national championship, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. boy, that one inning on Monday night, Vanderbilt just hasn't done a whole lot more.
It's looked that way through two games. I wouldn't necessarily say that in watching the whole tournament, that Virginia has been head and shoulders better than Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's very good. I mean, coming out of the SEC, but yeah, I mean, going into this thing, I had Virginia as the best team in this field, and it has played like that for most of the tournament. You take away that 9-run third inning on Monday night, and that's a strange thing to say because it's a 9-run third inning. That's kind of a big
part
of the game.
It's a big thing to ignore.
Yeah, and Virginia has completely dominated this championship series and has a better situation tonight on the mound. With Josh Spores, who has been the Cavs' number two guy all year, has not allowed an earned run and two starts in the postseason. And more important than that, Virginia has its two big studs in the bullpen, Artie Lewicki and Nick Howard. Howard being a first-round draft pick, and Lewicki has thrown 17 scoreless innings in the postseason, ready to go and fresh. Those guys have not pitched since Saturday. They are in great shape on the mound. And Vandy has Carson Fulmer, most likely. It's ace. And he hasn't pitched since Saturday, but he's going to be working on 3 days rest. It's hard to know, like Spores, it's hard to know how he'll respond. I really thought that Vanderbilt mismanaged some things last night in the sixth inning with Tyler Beatty, its starting pitcher. Vanderbilt was 12 outs away from the national championship. And I felt like at times it was managing that game like a Saturday in April. I thought it gave Beattie way too much rope to go out there and hang himself, and that's just what he did, allowing three in the sixth to lose the lead, and then another two in the seventh, which I thought was really, really should not have happened for Vanderbilt. I understand its bullpen was also taxed, but when you get the opportunity to play for a national championship, and you know it'll be all hands on deck tonight for Vanderbilt. I really felt like it should have been all hands on deck for Vanderbilt last night too, if it got into the late innings with a lead, which it did, and they let that slip away.
Well, Mitch, I absolutely agree with that. Is there an area that you think Vanderbilt does kind of have an advantage? Because to me, depth and everything else, it all seems to be pointing to Virginia. Is there something that really a Commodore fan can hang their hat on going into the game?
I think normally Vanderbilt have a deeper bullpen than Virginia. For Virginia, it's mainly been those two guys, Lewicki and Howard. Tonight, that's not the case. Even with the extra night of rest last night for the Vanderbilt bullpen, you know, which I guess is a positive. It did toss the game, but it didn't have to use its best relievers, which is a little backwards. But even with that, I think Virginia definitely has the edge in that pitching depth category tonight, which is not the way these teams would normally stack up. One area that you favor Vanderbilt is its aggressiveness, its speed. Vanderbilt has stolen more bases than the rest of the tournament field combined in the College World Series this year. I think they're at 16 now, had 13 coming into the championship series, and have been slowed a little bit by the Virginia pitching staff. But if I'm Vanderbilt tonight, you know, I'm going down guns a-blazing. I'm doing what got me here. You know that Virginia has got some edges in this game. Be aggressive. When you get guys on base, I mean, don't be reckless, but don't get picked off. Don't try to steal against pitch outs, but I would be running, and you know, if you're going to lose this thing, do it given your best shot. So that's part of what created that mess on Monday night in the 9-run third inning, is that Nathan Kirby, the Virginia pitcher, he got into his own head when Vanderbilt started getting guys on base. He issued three straight bases loaded walks. I mean, part of that was caused by the havoc that Vandy can create on the base pads, and I would certainly try to create that situation again tonight.
And a lot of those weren't even close, and you felt for the young man. And Mitch Sherman with us for just another minute here. I got a couple more questions for him from ESPN.com. I think when you get to this situation too, Randy, who's got the ice water in their veins? Because with everybody, the starting pitcher knows that he could be yanked. Does he have to worry about being too perfect? Does the coach make the move too soon? I mean, if two guys are on in the second inning, do you, you know, there's all that. It'll be interesting to see how both of the managers manage the game tonight. But, Mitch, I do want to ask you, and don't forget to look at ESPN.com, the art of the dog pile, and whoever wins tonight, Mitch wrote about that, how to do it properly and not get squished underneath too bad. But Tracy Smith, reports are headed to Arizona State. That's pretty big news in Big Ten land. It should be, anyway.
Right. If you pay attention to Big Ten baseball, then you know who Tracy Smith is. The last 2 years, leading Indiana to back-to-back league titles, to the College World Series, to a win at the College World Series a year ago, winning a game in Omaha, which is you know, groundbreaking for the Big Ten in recent years. So it's disappointing. I mean, some Husker fans and fans of other programs might say this is exciting. This gives our team an opportunity, but it's not like Indiana's a baseball giant. Indiana's a program that Tracy Smith has built, and it got a core of excellent players, many of whom have now moved on to professional baseball. And you know, he was just a good coach and a guy who was going to continue to coach the right way at Indiana. I don't think there's any reason to be happy as a fan of Big Ten baseball. You want to be able to play against good competition. You want your league to be looked at as legitimate around the country. And but at the same time, it's hard to blame Tracy Smith. You know, he gets to go to one of the elite programs in the history of the game at Arizona State, and have a chance to contend for national championships and contend for College World Series berths right away and on an annual basis with that recruiting base that you have down there in Arizona and the, of course, ability to play outside 12 months out of the year.
Well, Mitch, you kind of touched on what I kind of want to ask about. the Big Ten has that geographic disadvantage of weather. They're not that close to where baseball is the sport. And then you get a quality manager or coach like Tracy Smith, who then gets snatched up by people that have that advantage. Is the Big Ten doomed? I mean, the conference can never be to that level that we really want the conference to be?
Well, it depends what you want it to be. It's not going to be the SEC. It's not going to be the Pac-12, which has won back-to-back national championships, and that streak's going to be snapped tonight. But the Big Ten can be a respectable baseball conference. I think most of what the coaches complain about, or most of what fans talk about when it comes to Big Ten baseball, are really just excuses. And yeah, there are things that need to be worked around. You need to have a travel budget. You need to be able to go on the road early in the year and play in the South and out West. But if you recruit the right guys who are resilient and tough minded, Indiana showed it last year. You can go to the College World Series. You can win a national championship in the Big Ten. Now, Minnesota has done it in a different era, sure, but it can be done again. Nebraska can do it. Nebraska has great infrastructure, financial resources, support from the administration. Is Nebraska going to be a baseball power the likes of Arizona State LSU? Perhaps not. Is any school in the Big Ten? Does any school in the Big Ten have those kind of advantages? No, but I don't think there's any reason for the Big Ten to look at itself and feel sorry for itself. It can still be a good baseball league if the support is there from the schools, and I think it is. It's taken some steps in the right direction the last few years.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. Mitch, last question, and this might not be fair because I think if we had a four-hour show like the boys in Omaha, we could talk about it the whole show. But Big Ten presidents and chancellors came out with a lengthy statement yesterday. This is all on the heels of what Jim Delaney, among others, said at the Ed O'Bannon trial. You know where I'm going. For the folks that are out there, there's the talk of the guaranteed four-year scholarships and not leaving an athlete hanging out to dry. And Nebraska's been really good about taking care of their kids. But this is, everybody keeps saying this is the tip of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg. What are we to make of what the Big Ten presidents and chancellors said yesterday?
Well, it's a snowball rolling downhill now. The movement to extend players' rights. And it's easy to see where this is going. There's going to be seismic changes, it would seem, within the NCAA and the structure of college athletics, especially college football, over the next few years. You're now getting presidents behind conference commissioners and athletic directors to support the same thing, and there's really no stopping it at this point. I mean, what the president said yesterday and their statement released by the Big Ten is what has been said on a national level from different corners of college sports now for several months. It would seem that we're headed toward an era, as you know, where the five power conferences are going to have some level of autonomy to create their own rule system. We're going to have some kind of a benefit system for players, whether it's actual pay or just increasing their ability to live a normal life and have a certain kind of bill of rights. It's all going to change. And, the big question now is when, how much is it going to, how much is it going to change? How is it going to be governed? There are still a lot of questions to be answered, but, you can look at this and say it's a real exciting time for college athletics, which I think is how most people would tend to see it. Or you can say they're walking down a dangerous road, because the end of amateurism as we know it may not be too far in front of us.
Always great stuff on a variety of topics, so read along with him at ESPN.com. Mitch Sherman joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, thanks for the time, and I hope it doesn't go 13 innings tonight.
As long as it ends tonight, I'll be happy.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one, Mitch. Enjoy.
Thanks.
Mitch Sherman with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Hey, when you think of lawn and landscaping, the only name you need to know is Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. Everything you need to keep your lawn looking great all year round. And, of course, great landscaping from the rocks and the shrubs and the trees and custom edging, which means you get both style and functionality to your new and existing landscape. It can always look a little bit better. Imagine having that yard that looks like you spent hours on it when, in fact, Johnson Lawn and Landscaping took care of all the work for you. Serving the Tri-Cities online at NebraskaLandscape.com or give them a call, 237-LAWN. And don't forget to stop into the nursery located just beside Yellow Van on 6th Street in Kearney. Proudly landscaping Nebraska and doing amazing work. Johnson Lawn and Landscaping when we come back. Mike Davis, Nebraska Danger. And up next, Brad Archer, talk a little Legion baseball. Kearney runs it, keeping busy. We'll be right back.
This is the very last week to save 30% on all weight loss products at Complete Nutrition. Hurry in today and save 30% on Refirm, Mancor, CTS, Charger, and more. Complete Nutrition has helped thousands of people lose weight with clinically proven weight loss products that actually shrink fat cells. If you want to lose 15 to 20 pounds of fat, tone up, and be healthy, it's the perfect time to come into Complete Nutrition because all weight loss products are 30% off. Hurry in. This is the last week of the sale. Stop into a Complete Nutrition store today for a free consultation. A Complete Nutrition consultant will set you up for success by recommending which weight loss product is best for you. Achieve your ideal weight with the help from Complete Nutrition. Get 30% off all weight loss products this week only at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Kick back and relax at the Flatwater Music Festival, June 27th and 28th at Prairie Loft in Hastings. Enjoy a craft beer and listen to live music by bands from Nebraska and across the country. We'll have music workshops and performances, plus kids' activities, a 5K trail run, games, food and art vendors, and more. Daily admission is only $10, and kids under 12 get in free. Find details at prairieloft.org or on Facebook. See you June 27th and 28th in Hastings at the Flatwater Music Festival.
Greasy cheeseburgers and cheap cigarettes. One day they'll get me if they ain't got me yet.
Dougie Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. Well, UNK women's basketball coach Kevin Chaney has picked up four more young ladies to join Grand Island Northwest Superstater Mackenzie Brown as part of this year's incoming class. They include Deanna Moore, 2 years of eligibility remaining. She's been at Coffeyville, Kansas, and then Prairie View A&M. Also a 5'2 point guard, and that is Javonna Wynn, 2 years of eligibility remaining. She has been at Central Community College in Columbus. Also coming in is Miriam Ridgewell. 1 season left. She has spent time at Mesa Community College and Division II Southern Arkansas. And finally, you have Taylor Nielsen from Meeker High School in Northwestern Colorado. UNK sophomore Michael Colgate, a honorable mention All-American by Ping. 50 golfers make that team. He is the first D2 national qualifier for UNK. He's also ahead in his match play second round, and we'll talk about that later in Lincoln. And we've just been informed that the UNK track and field team has 3 academic All-Americans. Seniors Kevin Carter and Jackie Zemke, along with junior Dylan Schrote, made the team. All 3 Lopers voted to the second team this year. And Randy Bushcutter, former Loper himself.
Yeah, but I would. They never gave me a uniform or anything with the logo on it or anything. You know, I mean,
it's Wednesday. You've always got that Loper gear. And Brad Archer, also plenty to watch when it comes to Loper athletics, and he is the manager of the Kearney Runs American Legion Ball Club. They get ready to play again tonight, coming off a 7-0 win last night over North Platte. Arch, how you doing this morning?
Doing well, Doug. How are you guys doing?
Well, great to catch up with you. Sorry to pull you away from your World Cup soccer viewing.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Hey, be careful. Steinbrink can get the podcast of this. I'll rat you out.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not even sure.
Steinbrook.
I'm not even sure we know if Steinbrook's in Brazil anymore or not. But let's talk a little baseball. And Arch, we'll get to the season overall. But the story right now is you've got a young man in Peyton Pocock that every time you put him out there lately in a league game is doing something special for you. The shutout last night, the no-hitter the week before. Randy said the start before that was outstanding. Talk about the way Peyton's pitching for you right now.
Well, Peyton's obviously done real well. I think the biggest thing is he's throwing a lot of strikes, and what I mean by that is first pitch strikes. I would say he's probably in the percentage of 75 to 80 percent throwing first pitch strikes to the hitters he faces, and any time a pitcher can do that and get on top, and not only are they strikes, but their quality strikes are on the outer half or painting the black, and I think that's been a big reason for his success.
RG, he's been pitching for a long time. It's a muscle repetition that's working for him so well. Is he applying more cerebrally to the game and his approach? Is he just becoming stronger? Not that he's ever pitched poorly for you, but wow, he is really on a roll. What has changed with him to have so much success?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. As kids get older, and as you said, as they get more repetition, hopefully things work out for him. You know, Peyton's a kid that's also a quarterback in football, and a very intelligent kid. And, you know, unfortunately last year he had a growth plate problem, so I think he only played for us for about a week and a half or 2 weeks to start the year, and then he missed the rest of the year. But you know, coming into this year, he's certainly a kid that we were counting on, and he certainly hasn't let us down. But as far as getting back to what you were asking and whatnot, I mean, first of all, he's a good athlete, and as I said, very intelligent. And Manny Wright, who works with our pitchers, has done a great job with him as far as mechanics and those type of things. But you know, like I said, you know how this game works. Things can change in a hurry. But right now, he's been spot on for us, and he still has room for improvement. I know those people that were at the game last night probably saw that he struggled a little bit getting his curveball over the plate. And he has a really good curveball as well, and sometimes that pitch isn't there for you. But as I said, right now, the way he's throwing the fastball and able to hit spots and those type of things, he's just done an outstanding job for us.
We're talking with Brad Archer, Kearney Runs a manager, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Arch, I know when we talked at the beginning of the year, you were concerned about the lack of depth and maybe quality starters returning for you. How has the rest of the pitching kind of developed for you as we're heading into the last third of the regular season?
Well, we're still a work in progress, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I think even some of the kids that we had questions about have really pitched well. You know, this is one of those years that this is probably the most inexperienced team that we've had back as far as age and pitching and those type of things. But you know, we've had some other kids. You know, our top three pitchers are all going to be back next year. We've got two juniors and a sophomore that we kind of think are our top three. And then you know, with the Legion schedule the way it is, we usually have to have three other starters during the week. And, you know, kids like Dakota Schreiner and Ryan Main and Phil Vornhagen have done a nice job pitching-wise. And you guys have been around the game long enough, especially during the Legion season when you're playing six games in a week and whatnot. You know, sometimes when you go out, you just don't have the right matchup against a certain team. And there's just games during the summer where you just have to outscore people. And, you know, unfortunately, we're not quite as strong offensively as we've been in the year or in the past years. And so, you know, early in the year, we weren't able to do that. And you know, I look back at some of those games, and if we could have scored some more runs, you know, hit the ball a little bit better, those type of things, then probably our overall record would be a little bit better. But we're kind of about where we thought we'd be. We put a lot of emphasis on winning the Cornhusker League, and then, you know, that means we're going to throw our 1-2 pitchers on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, and You know, sometimes we play, to be quite honest with you, better competition on the weekends. So we're asking our 5 and 6 pitchers to go out there and face teams like Creighton Prep and Millard West and those type of things. And if you're not quite up to the task offensively, then you're probably going to struggle a little bit. That's kind of what we anticipated, and that's kind of what we've seen going through the first part of the year. But, you know, we started out the year, I think, playing 16 of our first 21 on the road. And now since that time, we've got 16 of our next 23 at home. And as the league is winding down here, we're going to be able to probably match up a little bit better with some of the competition we see.
And Arch, you did mention that you're pretty young. You know, Braden Eckhout and Ty Roseberry could still be playing for post 52 age wise. Brought them up because they've been a couple of your better offensive players as well. Talk a little bit about the growth of your offense with them being kind of young and kind of learning their chops through the course of the season.
Well, they stepped in from day one, both Braden and Ty. And, you know, Ty's hitting the fourth spot for us the entire year. Braden started out in the two spot, but we've moved him up to the leadoff spot. And both those kids have held their own really well. And Braden's really turned into a nice shortstop and is probably our number three pitcher and has the capability of even going higher than that. But both those kids, the sophomores, have really stepped up for us, and we needed them too, and they brought a lot of offensive punch to our lineup. And we're starting now to see some other kids start to hit the ball a little bit better and start to catch up with the pitching. And, you know, we went into Omaha earlier in the year, and that's where it really showed up. You know, we have a good reputation in Kearney, so when we went in and played Millard West and some of those people, you know, they have enough respect for us that they threw some high-quality kids. And to be quite honest with you, we were overmatched. But it's like I told the kids, we're going to continue to play that competition because, you know, if we're fortunate enough to make it to the state tournament, then that's the type of teams you're going to see. And we want to see those people during the year. And also, it helps us get better as we progress through the season as well.
Last minute here with Brad Archer, manager, Kearney Runza. Tonight, it's Ryder Park time. Well, when Grand Island and Kearney get together, it's always been a battle, and usually it's been between you two, Arch, for that Cornhusker League title. Tell the fans where you're setting and what the matchup is tonight.
Well, right now we are 9-2 in the Cornhusker League, and so we put ourselves back in a situation to get back in the league race. Obviously, we need to win tonight against Grand Island, and then Grand Island still has 3 or 4 league games left, and we would need someone to knock them off as well. But if we could win tonight, the tiebreaker's the second game, so that would put us in the best possible position that we could be in. And then I think Grand Island still has Hastings to play one more time and still has North Platte a doubleheader to play. So we would still need some help. But the only way we're going to have a chance to win the Cornhusker League is knock them off tonight. And that's going to be a tall task. Grand Island has a nice team. They're a solid 1-9 in the lineup. And I'm anticipating seeing the Hankey kit since the other kit threw last night against Hastings. But should be a good atmosphere over there. I don't know if they have fan appreciation night over there tonight or not, but usually they get a decent crowd. And our kids, we've been talking about this for a couple of days now. Our kids are excited to go over there. But like I said, we're going to have our work cut out for us, but we're capable of doing that. Chris Langan will start on the mound for us tonight. We threw Peyton against Grand Island the previous time we played them. And hopefully we can go over there and play good defense and back Chris up because we know he'll compete and score enough runs to win.
Well, I'm sure we'll get a recap from co-host Jim Langan on Friday's Doug and Daddy show of how the appearance went tonight. But Arch, we'll wish you guys the best of luck. It's always appreciative to chat with you guys, and good luck. We'll catch up with you later.
All right, sounds good. You guys have a good day.
Take care. Thanks, Brad.
Brad Archer, manager, Kearney Runza tonight, post 52, and Runza going to Grand Island Ryder Park, as usual, 5:30 and 8 o'clock. The rest of the Legion last night, Kearney 5 Points Juniors were rained out at Central City. They'll play Grand Island Tom Dinsdale tonight. Last night, Dinsdale fell to Kearney County 4-2, but they committed 6 errors in that game. Grand Island USA beat Kearney County 13-0. Hastings Johnson Imperial Juniors won 3-2 over 5 points of Grand Island. Grand Island Home Federal beat Hastings 5 points by a score of 10-2. Also tonight, Kearney 5 Points Juniors. We told you about Grand Island. Hastings Johnson Imperial will host Beatrice in a 9-inning contest, while Runza and 5 Points will head to Lexington for a double dip tonight.
Lots of baseball.
There's your baseball.
Lots of baseball.
All going on. With
great weather for it, too.
And, of course, if you're going to be there, don't forget, take the headsets and put it right here on ESPN Radio. 6:45 pregame, first pitch right around 7:05. When we come back, Nebraska Danger football. Andy from Midway is going to slide in here in a moment as well to chat with us. But the Nebraska Danger, Randy, this is kind of what they have been pointing to all along. If the Spurs were pointing to beat the Heat, then the Danger are pointing to win the championship Saturday night, because that's who falls. It's basically everything's identical to last year.
Well, and they really had a long path to get here. They had the injured quarterback for a while. You kind of worried about exactly where they're going to be. They had to hit the road a little bit more this year than they did last year, but all they ever wanted to do was have another shot at Sioux Falls, and that's exactly what's coming up this weekend.
Andy from Midway here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where we always talk about selling the new and pre-owned vehicles and hassle-free pricing and all the great deals that are going on. But we've been mentioning from time to time all the things you guys do for the community. And then check out not only online at thinkmidway.com, but go to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've been out there. I've seen it. You've got a really cool giveaway just going along with your everyday service.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of one of our things that we like to do, just to let everybody know that, you know, we're not 100% about, of course we want to sell cars. That's what we do for a living. You know, of course we want to work on your car. We want to sell you parts. Those are part of our, that's part of what we do. But we like to have fun with things too. And we're actually having the Midway Extreme giveaway. What that is we're actually going ahead and giving away a motorcycle, and not just any motorcycle. This thing is an absolutely gorgeous motorcycle. It's in great shape. If any of you guys received the Midway Minute, you'd seen on the cover of that it's sitting right there. Plus, we're also going ahead and giving away a Skydive from Corn Fed Boogie. It's just going to be absolutely crazy. And no, they're not tied together. I've had a couple of people ask. They said, so do I roll out of the plane on my motorcycle with a parachute on?
Awesome.
We could try. It would be awesome.
Awesome.
I would be totally in on that. But no, there's a lot of great things going on. And you know what? It's something where you don't even have to buy a car to get registered. You can go to our Think Midway Facebook page. You can just go to the thinkmidway.com website. You can go ahead and get registered there. Now, every time you do purchase a car between now and I believe it's August 1st, you're going to go ahead and get 20 extra entries every time that you purchase a car. And then every time that you utilize our service department, you're going to go ahead and receive an additional 5 entries too. So a lot of great things. But, you know, down there at Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram right now, I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of action going on. Huge, huge, huge stupid rebates and discounts. Almost up to $10,000 off some of these 3/4-ton and 1-ton 2014 Rams. We just got rid of the last 2013 Ram that we had left, so no more 13 merchandise is left over. The Jeep's absolutely hot. We've actually got 5 Patriots in stock. You know, wanted to bring that up. You got 4th July coming around. You know, think of 4th July, you think of a Patriot. I don't know.
Weird
they, go together. Some other great product, too. Still got a couple left of those Dodge Avengers. Those things are absolutely, in my opinion, one of the best steals out on the market right now. You can go ahead and take almost up to $5,000 off these vehicles and get some great deals. But we've got great certified pre-owned selection right now. We've got fantastic discounts. Huge, 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 huge deep discounts. They're going to be running through the end of this month. We need about 10 more new vehicles to get us through the end of this month. So if you're at all thinking about it, don't put it off. Don't delay. You know the 4th of July is coming up. You know you're going to be traveling. Get on down. Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram. Come see Chad Randles, Nick Mortensen, Matt Mortensen, Larry Molman, Dave Clark, the whole gang. We'll go ahead and get you taken care of.
And Andy, we'll let you get back down there, because I know you got to get the body paint on for U.S. Germany tomorrow.
Oh, man, I'm going to look like a Smurf.
It's going to be awesome. Don't forget your Midway Auto Dealers, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. More on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Now is the time to start training for this year's Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have their chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities. Track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 7th through the 10th in Kearney. This is the 25th anniversary, a year you won't want to miss. Sign up by going to NebraskaSeniorGames.com for registration forms. The 2014 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the game at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
Every day you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Protecting them is something you've always done. It is something you will always do. But sometimes it's complicated, and you may need a little help along the way. Parents, take a stand and visit us online at positivepressure.org for answers, tips, and support about protecting your child from alcohol abuse.
Powered by Buffalo County Community Partners.
Just arrived at Crossroads Ford in Kearney. 04 Dodge 2500 Quad Cab 4x4 SLT has a Hemi with the long box, just $14,900. Here's a 2011 Ford Escape 4-wheel drive limited. A V6 with sunroof and leather, just $22,900. How about an 08 Ford Mustang priced to sell fast, just $12,900. Look at this, a 2013 Ford Fusion Hybrid 4-door SE under 23,000 miles, just $25,500. Be sure to check them out on Facebook for special giveaways. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
Who will rise on the world's biggest stage?
2-1 United States!
The United States was within seconds of the knockout round.
Goal! It's 2-2!
Now, powerhouse Germany awaits.
Unbelievable!
A win or a tie, and the U.S. moves on. USA, Germany, Thursday on ESPN and on ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show Wednesday. Well, that means it's Wing Wednesday over at Cunningham's. If you're getting tired of the same old lunch routine, you can forget the ordinary leftovers from yesterday and escape ordinary and head on over to Cunningham's Journal, the place for great food, live entertainment, and of course, your favorite sports. And don't forget, the courtyard is open. It is a beautiful time of year to spend some quality time out there in the courtyard. Cunningham's also has delicious pub or gourmet burgers right off the grill, like their famous Juicy Lucy or Juicy Jack. They got the Old Blue, Buffalo Bill, the barbecue, or you can create your own masterpiece and choose from over a dozen flavors, kind of mix and match, if you will. They have pizza for one person or the entire crew, salads for those of you who are kind of watching your weight. I'm watching mine gets larger. And, of course, a great selection of appetizers, ribs, and sandwiches. And, as I mentioned, stop in every Wednesday. You get 8 delicious wings for only 5 buckaroos. Or Thursday, stop in for a beer and a pub burger for only $6.49. That is a great
deal. Expanded menu, too. I had some of the grilled scallops the other night.
Oh, the scallops?
Yeah. Bacon wrap, scallops.
Well, it's got bacon in it, so that would be tolerable. I'm not a fish guy, but, I mean, they've got a great selection of shrimp and if you can't leave work for lunch, stop in for happy hour from 3 to 6. Get even happier with a big-ass beer for only $3.50 or a well for only $1.50. When you're ready to escape, if you're going to escorp, you might as well escorp there, too. But if you want to escape ordinary, the place to be is Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street in downtown Kearney.
Well, it's time now for Nebraska Danger Football Talk with the head coach, Mike Davis, getting ready to take off for Sioux Falls and another United Bowl. And, Coach, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Congratulations on the outstanding performance last week out of Colorado.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
What worked? I mean, I'm reading the box score. I'm paying attention to the game. You guys get off offensively. You force 3 turnovers in the first half. Jameel plays, the whole offense plays well in that first half. I mean, it was all danger in that first half.
Yeah, we focused on getting off to a fast start, and we did that. You know, we defensively came out and kind of stifled them early, and offense kind of just picked up the pace. You know, we were fortunate. You know, unfortunately, we had Kane Falkson went down and Marcus Barnett went down at the end of the first half and they did in the second half. So the second half, I mean, we were already up 30 and we just kind of coasted home.
Coach, you're right where you thought you'd be, I'm sure. You know, thought playing for another United Bowl, you know, playing in the championship game, you're right where you – but it wasn't the path you probably had in mind when you had the injuries to Jameel and everything else. Was there a moment that you kind of thought to yourself, man, we may not make it unless we do – X or Y? Was there kind of a moment where you did have a little bit of doubt?
No, I mean, I knew that we had the guys you know, in the locker room to pick up the pieces. But, you know, the problem was, is like, we're not going to play well in the playoffs unless we get healthy. And, you know, that's why we set out, Jamil, the Texas game, the first Texas game up, or the Sioux Falls game, and gave him an extra 2 weeks to get healthy, because, you know, realistically, I needed him for three games. I mean, we could have set him out in the Texas game too, but we wanted to get him, kind of dust the rust off of him.
Every time I ask you, Mike Davis, the head coach of the Nebraska Danger, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, every time I ask you about Sioux Falls, you just say they don't make mistakes. Can you get me a little deeper here? X and O's, what is it that they've been doing that gives you problems?
Yeah, you know, they just, you know, when they play in front of their home crowd, they're very tough. You know, they have a great offensive line, and Dixon, their quarterback, is a veteran. I mean, he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. So for us to be successful, we have to kind of push the pace on them. You know, I kind of relate it to fast break basketball. You know, if you're pushing the pace on them, you know, offensively, then they have to turn around and do the same thing. Well, we have the same mentality on defense. We're going to try to push the pace and dictate of what they do. And if we can do that, then we'll be just fine. You know, it's guys just have to, you know, don't get caught up in being a championship game. It's the last game of the season.
Is there an area that you kind of look at and say, here's something that we can do that's kind of their Achilles heel, some sort of weakness? I mean, obviously they're very, very tough at home, but is there something that you kind of feel like you really do have an advantage and you're really going to try to exploit through the course of the United Bowl coming up this weekend?
I mean, I couldn't really tell you that because then they might hear it. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think that, you know, our receivers have to play well, and Jimmy likes to play well. And if we do that, then I think there's some matchups in that are favorable to us. But if we don't protect Jamil, then that goes out the wayside.
Mike Davis with us, head coach, Nebraska Danger. You've talked about that playing at Sioux Falls isn't that big a deal because it's a great environment. The crowd knows what's up. The Nebraska Danger fans will follow. What is different about going up there this year compared to last year?
We know what to expect. I mean, last year we had a bunch of rookies, and they were kind of overwhelmed with it. And, you know, we still had a chance to win the game. I mean, in the press conference on Friday, I told them, if you would tell me right now that we could have the ball with a chance to win the game with under a minute left, I would take it right now. We'll skip everything and just go to the last minute. We had that opportunity, and we just didn't get it done. This year we're a lot more mature, and we kind of – we know what to expect, and if we take care of what we're supposed to take care of, we've said it all year. The team that scares us the most is ourselves. When we don't play well, I mean, we're bad. Yeah. And when we execute, we can be really tough, and we can play with anybody out there.
It seems to me the game with Sioux Falls and your offense, their offense, everything kind of matches up. I almost liken this to two great tennis players that play each other. You have to hold serve. You have to get touchdowns versus getting field goals throughout the course of the game to be able to do that. Is that really kind of the approach
absolutely
that you want to have?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last week, even though we won 45-15, we kicked five field goals. Granted, we made four of them, but you can't allow teams to do that and expect to win a championship. You know, you have to turn around and you have to score touchdowns and hold them to field goals.
What if it comes down to a field goal on Saturday night, Coach?
I would take, honestly, I mean, they probably have the best kicker in the league, but I would give Joe Houston another opportunity to kick it, and I think he would redeem himself. I mean, he's a strong-willed kid. I mean, he went to USC for a reason, and we've rode with him all year. I'm not going to change now.
We're talking with Mike Davis for another minute, head coach, Nebraska Danger. For the fans out there that are making the trip up to Sioux Falls, there will be a tailgate. They'll set up in the east parking lot of the Sioux Falls Arena. They're going to send them off tomorrow night. And if you can't make it up there, check out our favorite place in Grand Island, Bandits. Mike's been down there to talk to us a couple times. We're going to be back over there soon after the 4th. Bandits will be having a United Bowl watch party where you can watch Saturday night's game. But, Coach, from the very beginning, when you put this team back together and got a lot of these guys back, you simply said they wanted to come back and win a championship. Now it's in front of them. I don't think it matters what age you are. There might still be some jitters. What's going to be your final words to them?
I don't know. I'm not a huge – if you talk to any of our players, I'm not a huge motivational guy, because if you can't motivate yourself, then what are you playing the game for? You know, I said a few different words on Saturday against Colorado, and that I've kind of gotten from, you know, the coaches that I've had in the past, Coach Foster, Coach Ward, stuff like that at Virginia Tech and so forth. But I'll have something small for them to say. And at the end of the day, they know every one of them knows I love them to death, and I wouldn't trade not one of them for the world. And if they go out and play the way they're supposed to and play for each other, we'll take care of business.
Coach, how's practice been this week? Is there a little bit different tone to it? Is there a different feel to it versus other weeks?
No, you know, that's the crazy part about it. Like, I didn't want the guys getting stressed out, oh, it's championship week. It's just the last game of the season. Granted, you know, we're preparing a little different. We're doing a few things differently as far as film and practice-wise, but the intensity's good. You know, there hasn't been, you know, not many drop balls, you know, no blown coverages, and that's all you can ask for. You know, this week, it's week 17 of the season. If you're not ready to play, because this is what you came here for, then it's probably time for you to hang them up.
Mike, put the cart before the horse here a little bit. After you win that championship on Saturday night, it's going to be a great ride home, as you described, hopefully different than last year's ride. But I don't know how quickly we'll talk with you again, probably Monday after you win the championship. But when that comes along, I get the feeling that this team is going to look a lot, and I mean a lot, different next year. Is that what's going to happen? A lot of these guys moving on? Is it all right here this Saturday night?
You know, it's funny you said it. We were talking about that today at practice. There's probably 10 or 15 that are moving on. And that's, you know, whether it's time to get a career and stuff like that. There was a majority of these guys that came back for one reason and one reason only, and that was to try to get back to the championship and play Sioux Falls and win it. That game last year left an awful taste in our mouth, and it ate at me the whole offseason, and these guys as well. So, you know, they wanted it. Everything is still attainable as far as winning the championship. And now it's time to put up or shut up.
Well, our Midtown Mark Cooler question today is, will the Nebraska Danger upset the Sioux Falls Storm Saturday and win their first United Bowl? I'll let you have the first vote on that, Coach. What do you got for me?
It's not applicable for me to answer.
Won't be an upset, baby. It's not going to be an upset. Coach, we always appreciate the time. Get up there, get a win, finish this baby off right, and hopefully we can chat again on Monday.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Davis.
Good luck, Mike.
Who's going to miss out on a golf date Friday because they're still playing.
And happily.
I have to scratch him off my list because that's two things going for him. He doesn't have to play golf with me, and he's playing in the United Bowl, coaching in the United Bowl.
And they're almost equal, actually.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, you set him up, I'll knock him down.
This is way better. Argentina and Nigeria each scored within the last 90 seconds here. It's like 3-2. And they're only in the 50th minute. Anyway, our Midtown Mart Cooler question, brought to you by Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Vote today at ESPNSuperstation.com. Will the Danger win the United Bowl? I'm voting yes. I think they've got everything together. I think they've got everything. And if they're not the better team, so be it. But they're not couldn't be in a better position than they are right now, unless it was at home, which would be psychotic in Grand Island. But I think they can do it in Sioux Falls.
Well, they're certainly focused. And, I mean, this is really what you're kind of driven for. The only concern I would kind of have is maybe putting too much pressure on themselves. You know, if they go out there loose, play their game, certainly got a great shot. And I don't see any reason why you wouldn't think that they would win it.
Yesterday's question, will the United States advance to the knockout round at the World Cup? Oh, you homers, 55% yes, 45% no. I said no. So I think they'll lose, and something in that Ghana-Portugal match will keep them out.
Even if they lose, they have a couple of advantages. Ghana is the team, strangely enough, that has the best chance of beating them. The team that the U.S. beat
has a better
chance. Do you know
exactly what has to happen?
I've got a lot of it in my head. There's a lot of permutations like there is if you're taking a look at the NFL playoffs. But bottom line is, if it's an identical situation between Ghana and the United States goes.
So Portugal wins, United States loses, we're in trouble.
No, Portugal wins and the United States loses, we're in pretty good shape.
Basically, since we beat Ghana when we have the one goal differential.
So how do we not get in?
Portugal wins 5-0.
Not going to happen.
If Ghana wins 2-0, we would have to score a goal to keep that goal differential
Because we have a one-goal lead on them, as, yes. in a sense, in
but
goal differential.
Really
that's a tiebreaker that comes later.
That's the third tiebreaker.
Well, of course it should. Of course it should. We beat you, but you get in. Anyway.
Well, and again, when it's head-to-head like that, I agree absolutely. That should be your first tiebreaker. We won, they lost. Thanks for coming. But a lot of times when this happens in pool play, you get two or three teams in there. So I don't know. I'm with you. That should be the first tiebreaker. But instead, it's the third or fourth.
So no biting in the World Cup today, and even after that header. That was lucky. It wasn't even a header. It was like on his back shoulder. Clayton Kershaw. The Royals played well, but Clayton Kershaw is just the man. And Game 3 of the Dodgers-Royals tonight, 7:10 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. And coming up Saturday in Omaha, Crawford Gamboa for the light heavyweight or the lightweight championship of the entire universe. And that's coming up on Saturday at Century.
Nobody is pitching better than Clayton Kershaw on the planet right now. Nobody is pitching any better. Nobody.
Oh, Peyton Pocock.
Solid, don't get me wrong, but I gotta go with the pro on that deal.
At match play, trying to give you an update here on how the area players are doing. Riley Reinertsen has advanced to the round of 16 with a 2-1 win. He will play again this afternoon in his match. Michael Colgate, UNK golfer, is 1-up through 13 holes. Josh Reinertsen, 4-up through 13 over Cameron Vargel of North Platte, so he is about ready to advance on. And John Sajovic of Fremont is 2-up on Aurora's Lucas Gross Nicholas through 13. Daniel Lemick had a 3-shot lead entering the day of the final round of the Nebraska Women's Amateur. We want to thank Brad Archer, Carney Runza, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, Mike Davis, Nebraska Danger for joining us tomorrow. The World Cup will come on just a little bit before World Cup at 11 here on the Doug and Daddy Show to recap College World Series and any of the rest of the sports, and then Friday back with a full show. So, Randy, go enjoy some soccer.
I'll do my very level best. Go USA.
We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.